You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And God and Father, here we are. Take your word and help us that we would have all of that which you have, even that we're able to assimilate and take. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, and we're at the end of his upper room experience, chapters 13 through 17. And as we're coming to the end in chapter 17, in verse 21, that purpose, they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they, purpose, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This is a unique oneness. And you can read it. And if I asked you what it meant, what are you going to say? So, we're going to take a little trip. You'll have to think. And sorry you have to do that. You'll have to pay attention. So, follow along. I want to take you a trip into that oneness. What on earth is that oneness like? That's my question. The oneness. Over to Revelation chapter 4. I'll try to do it inch by inch. Revelation chapter 4, in God's holy, happy, heavenly heaven. And may I pick up, please, in the end of verse 4, chapter 4, verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure or thy will they are and were created. God created everything, everywhere, all at once, in his, as it were, in his outworking of history. God created it all. He's the creator. And in heaven, they're all, with the background of chapter 4, they're honoring the God who is the creator. Chapter 5, and going, if I can, to verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. That's in heaven again. What's it like in heaven? What's it like? To recognize God in his awesomeness in a most wonderful way. That's what it's like. Now, having said that, go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. And you will note 2 Corinthians and in chapter 9. And may I go directly in the light of the context and time. Verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now that is in line with, you know, God has given so wonderful everything. Verse 8. Chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. The God who makes all of that possible. Thanks God for his unspeakable gift. The gift, the word unspeakable, what cannot be told. Too awesome. Too overwhelming. to be expressed. Can't be expressed, can't be described, indescribable. God's gift of Christ is indescribable. That means there is no language. No language. God created and Adam and all of that, and God, they knew God in a most wonderful way. Moses came along and put it in writing. And God gave a language. They had the language, and God used the language they could understand and use. But there are no adjectives, there are no words to describe God. God is beyond all language and all understanding. Isaiah 55, etc. His ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. He's beyond. We're in his presence right now. But how much can we absorb, understand of his presence? And wonderfully, somehow, God makes us enjoy a oneness with him as believers, a oneness with him. What kind of oneness is it? Man and woman shall be one flesh. No. More than that. That's just an illustration. Wow. So now, having said that, beyond all language, there are no words to explain. And Moses could put the language down that most helps. So then, with that language being written down, as Moses did it, after God dictated it to him, as it were, over to Genesis chapter 1. Before you go to Genesis 1, I want you to go to Exodus. On your way to Genesis, stop at Exodus. Exodus in chapter 3. And you will note in Exodus chapter 3, picking up, if I may, in verse, Moses is going to go and be sent to the Pharaoh in Egypt, and he wants to know how to describe God to the people. In verse 13, Moses said unto God, Behold, I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. And I am is an imperfect verb to be. I am going to give it to you as it is. I am, that's a verb, I am being, little pronoun, I am being who I am being. That's literally. I am being who I am being. How's that for language? I am. Now what am I going to do with that? Now, God having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 3. And I appeared unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah, was I not known to them? All right, got to take that apart. The name of God, that's the word God, Elohim, Elohim. And Almighty has to do with the might, power, powerful, all-powerful. I am El Shaddai, I am the power. I am the God, Elohim, plural. And I am Elohim, singular. I am power. The plural is power. But But by my name, Jehovah, that's a proper noun, Jehovah or Yahweh, whichever, to Jehovah, was I not known to them. I was not known. But you'll go back and find God, Elohim, in the very beginning. What do you mean, God, you weren't known to them by Jehovah? I was their father, their creator, their father. They did not understand Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I was the one who followed and backed all my promises. I was the father. I wanted them to enjoy my wonderful person who guarantees, who keeps all of his wonderful word to for the benefit of all of us, all believing hearts. I want them to know that, but they never knew that. Sliding down, chapter 6, to verse 6. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Do you notice L-O-R-D? L-O-R-D in your King James is in capital letters. That's Lord, Jehovah. That's the pronoun, proper noun. It's in L-O-R-D, capitals, at least in the King James. Capitals, so you got that. So whenever you see that, that's Jehovah. That's how they do it. And verse 6. Wherefore I say unto all the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out of under from under the burdens of Egyptians, and will rid you out of all their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Now, God is explaining to them what they didn't really appreciate about God. God is very much involved in his management of human history, etc. So therefore, verse 7, and I will take you to be for me a people, and I will be to you a God, Elohim, and you shall know that I am the Lord, Jehovah, proper name, your God, plural, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Verse 8, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord, Jehovah, proper name. So, now we don't know. God, remember Adam and Eve and Abraham and all them, they had a wonderful straightway relationship with God. Job, another one. They had a wonderful straightway with God. Wonderful. And they had an awesome sense of God. And it governed what they did. In the Genesis 6, they didn't want to know God. They could have, but they didn't want to know. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in the light of Exodus 6, God wants them to know God's wonderful, to recognize him as their father, and enjoy him. Now, having said that, God, G-O-D, Elohim, now go to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, picking up, please, in thought, and you'll have it. If I can, in verse 1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, plural, created the heavens and the earth. And then you're going to go and slide down. And by the way, God's going to be used, the word Elohim, God, is used 30 times in just the first chapter. So God's helping, God's saying, let me give you help. I'm only going to understand God. I can't understand the flowers, the birds, the bugs, the trees, the planets, the every science, all science and math and everything reflects. Your human body is so unique. The 12 systems of your body are so awesome. Awesome. I don't see how you could study and not the functioning of separating and doing things by the second. Wow. Blow your mind away. Now, no one can do that except God. We use it, we doctor and operate stuff based on what we do know. But it's awesome what we do know. Now, so here's God. Now, God's going to have to help us understand who he is. So, A, without even going very far, God apparently is plural. Whatever that means, we're going to find out. What does that mean? If you're going to read the Bible, you aren't going to look at the sky. You aren't going to go to the great museum in Washington, the Library of Congress. They got all the books. You aren't going to find it there. You're going to find it in that book in front of you, I hope. That's the only way. There's no other book. I got a lot of books. There's no other book in all the world like the Bible in front of you. There's not another book like it. For all the religions, there's not another book like it. Do you understand? That's why you want to know God. That's why God gave the Bible. Watch. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let us therefore be light. And God saw, and you're going to read, God, Elohim, he's the one doing all of creation in a most, most wonderful way. Chapter 1, sliding over to verse 26. In the sixth day, as it were, and God said, verse 26, God, Elohim said, let us, plural, that's plural, little word us, plural, let us make man in our, that's image, plural, after our, that's plural, according to, in verse 26. So, God, we're going to go and after image and let him have dominion over the fish and sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. But as you're reading, verse 26, God is plural. So verse 27, God Elohim created man in his own image. God created man, verse 27, in his own image. Now, image is one thing in verse 26. When we come to verse 27, it's singular. Singular. So we're going. God, you're going back and forth. That's right. That's right. The only way you're going to get it, God's helping. Because you can't explain God, and no one can. And religion is at a terrible bankruptcy. Religion with Buddha and all of it, there's no way on earth religion's going to come up with us. No way. Not on this earth. And the idols, and you read it in Jeremiah 10. Idols are religion. God never talks to anybody because there is no God except God. And when you hear something, there's demons, and they do a lot. We can't do that subject, but you got it. Demons. You bet. But there's only one God. And there are no God, there's no religion going to talk to you. Yoga and whatever you want to do, it can't. There's nothing. Now, hang on. So therefore, verse 27, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Now, so far, we've got plural and singular. That's the main thing to think about, of God, Elohim. Over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Oh no, for time's sake, chapter 6. Deuteronomy in chapter 6. And you will note, may pick up in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you know that is this is the main section for Jews. Hear, Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord, and there's Jehovah, the proper name, is one Elohim, Our Lord Jehovah, proper name, is God Elohim, is cardinal number one, Lord Jehovah. Jehovah is one. Jehovah is God, is Jehovah. Three, one is three, is one. As God's telling you, I am that I am. What are you going to do with that? God has to help us, because there's no way on earth we can come to grips with this. So therefore, the Lord, God, Elohim, is one Lord. Now, in verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God, the Lord, Jehovah, thy God, plural, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Now, and teach them to thy children, etc. Now, having said that, and teaching them to the children. So, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is great stress, as mentioned, with the Jews. It's one of the four passages that are used in the phylacteries. That is, the Jewish people that are with it, in that sense. They put bands of leather in leather case, the piece of leather, the strap, and a case, and a scripture verse in it. What scripture verse do they put in it? This one. I just read it. They put four verses in. This is one of them. What do they do with them? In their morning prayers, they wrap it around their forehead. They wrap it around their left hand, left wrist. They're going to pray. The Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. They're going to pray. They understand, but they don't understand. When you reject Jesus Christ, you're stuck to put this together. Now, hang on. In the light of that, and all of that. So, go with me, please, over to Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 42. And in Isaiah chapter 42, picking up, if I can, and picking up, please, in verse 8. 42 and 8. All we're doing is getting little pieces so you can get some of it, all of the stuff in between it you need. Chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, capital, that's Jehovah. That is my name. And my glory I will not give unto another, my praise to graven images. I'm not going to do that. I am the Lord. Chapter 43. And in chapter 43, right next door, verse 15. I am the Lord, Jehovah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So this God, who's plural, Elohim, is one Lord, proper name, is one, just one. So it's not 10, it's only one. So now, Isaiah 44. And in verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord, both of the capitals, of hosts, Jehovah, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no Elohim. There is no Elohim apart from me. I'm the only one. I'm the only Elohim. How many Elohims are there? Just one. The Elohim is a classification of God. It's a way. It'd be like saying the general Jones. I say general. That's a classification. His real name is Jones. General Jones. He's God. That's classification. He's Elohim. That's what he is. God is Elohim. So now, having said that, and keeping that a little bit in front of you, in chapter 44, verse 6, and verse 8. Fear not ye not, neither be afraid, for I have not, I told thee. What did you tell him from old time? And have declared it. Ye are my witnesses. Is there a Elohim beside me? Yea, there is no Elohim. I know not any. There's no Elohim. I'm the only Elohim there is. Got it? I'm the only one there is. Yeah, okay. I got it. Chapter 45. Verse 5. 45 and 5. And in verse 5. I am the Lord, Jehovah, and there is none else. There is no Elohim beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. If I can. Verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord Jehovah. There is none else. I'm the only one. I'm not 10. I'm not 3. I'm not 20. I'm one. I'm an Elohim. That's what I am. Wow. Now, hang on. So here, having said that and keeping that in mind in the light of that, so here is Elohim. And Elohim is used perhaps 2,570 times in the Old Testament, 2,570 times. And if you want something to do, you can count it and give you something to do. And that's approximate, I wouldn't say exactly. When you start getting, only the government, it used to be thousands, hundreds and thousands, and even a billion. But when you get into trillions and zillions and zillions and zillions, only the government can play numbers like that. Only numbers can they push numbers, buttons, and what does a trillion look like? Did you ever look at a trillion? How much do you think a trillion, a trillion bricks, how much do you think that is? A trillion bricks, you see. Now, so God, you're a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. And so here's Elohim, as we mentioned, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God. God, his personhood, having intellect, emotions, will, I am. He is the living God. He says so. And he made us in his image. So if you want to know what God is like, he has to be like something like we are. Because we're in his image and his likeness. So we have to be. He isn't a duck, you understand? He isn't a kangaroo. He isn't some mystical floating. He somehow has, I think, what we can say, us humans, I am, I will, I ought, I'm morally responsible. God, in his wonderful grace, is God. And we're in his image. So therefore, we would not, when we say God is a person, but he's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Therefore, and God is spirit, God is light, God is love, God is a consuming fire. All the words God. I am thy shield, I am thy great reward, I am thy high tower. And remember, we did a whole study on that years ago, Exodus, the book of Exodus. In chapter 3, verse 14, we read, I am that I am. And we had a little thing. It said, I am that I am. And then blank, it's a check. And you fill in what you need. I am to you the good shepherd. I am to you the Savior. I am to you an ever-present help. Fill it in. Fill it in. I am. I am that I am. Wow. Now hang on. Having said that, so God, not three gods, not one God in three different forms, not three gods, just one, in essence, being, nature, one God, essence, nature, being, that has in some wonderful, awesome way, how are you going to describe yourself, God? He reveals it in his nature to extent that we can understand. That's why the New Testament is going to have when you read Elohim, just a side note, Elohim in the Old Testament is plural, Elohim. When you translate the Old Testament into Greek, you say, Lord. That's singular. So when you want to see Lord God, in the New Testament, it takes the plural and makes it singular. Why? In the New Testament, you have the revelation of what? Jesus Christ has become flesh. God is among us. Therefore, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You have information, fullness of information you didn't have in the Old Testament. So now, God in his most wonderful person, is beyond awesome, and beyond his oneness, a unique oneness, three equal persons in one essence being nature. Do you want to try to tackle that? He's not three persons, not three different people. That's God. God. There is no explanation for God. There are no words. There is no language. But God, we're just starting this because it's like a journey we did years ago with somebody. A journey into the heart of God. Remember, we started. We're going down the corridor. A journey into the heart of God. We're going to take a little trip into God's awesome person for you and me. What does that mean? Now, hang on. And you have to be a believer, obviously. So God, in this wonder, God is to be worshipped in Trinity, and in Trinity, in unity, and there's never a confounding of his persons. There's never a separating of his substance. Everything, God is just one essence, being nature, and yet he's three persons in one person. Wow. Would you go with me, please, over to, and you know, and Ed, you don't have to turn, well, Exodus 20, and you don't have to turn there, but Exodus 20, and that's the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt what? Have no other gods, what? Before me. Don't make anything that you can see, touch, taste, smell. Don't make anything like me. No images. No other. That's what religion, demons, Genesis 11. We're going to worship the stars and everything else. You can't do that. They're just, God created them. That is not God. It's, the flowers are not God. He created them in a most awesome, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and you know, on your way, over to Romans chapter 1, what is the problem with us humans? We don't allow God to be God. And we have his word to know differently. We aren't like Abraham or Jacob. They didn't have the Bible. They just had God. That's how they did it. And one day we're not going to have the Bible either. Romans chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 23. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, etc. What do we do? Exodus chapter 20, don't do that. That's idolatry. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, back over, if we can, to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. The world doesn't want to see God. They don't want to know God. Darkness loves, hates light. So, Psalm 33. And you'll notice, picking up, please, in verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works, Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That's capital letters, Jehovah, Yahweh. By the word of the Lord are the heaven, were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe, stand in awe, or be concerned to have reverence and awesomeness. Stand in awe of him. For reason, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That's how everything came into being. God spoke and it happened. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to nothing, He makes the devices of the people none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God, Elohim, is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance, etc. Now, so here's this, God's wonderful, is awesome, to be august, to be exalted, wow. To be a wonder, a wonder, a wonder. First Chronicles. First Chronicles and chapter 29. All that we have and all that God is. Chapter 29, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, 1 Chronicles 29, 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Remember you read that in Revelation chapter 4. He's the creator. All is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above it all. So what language? We're going to take English words. There's English words that we can understand. We understand them. When we're all done, they don't even come close. They don't come. I say infinity, you know, endless. How do you talk about something that has no end? We'd say infinity. It doesn't have an end. But how do you do it? Wow. Now, and in the light, verse 12, both riches and honor came of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. So God, that's what Israel was to be encouraged, to have an awesome relationship to God, of all the benefits of who he is and what he's like. He's three in one, one in three. He's God to have the benefits. See? But you're way ahead of here in the church age of grace. We're to be one with him. That's what I'm after. That's one thing here. I read this. I said, wow, what a great God. More than that. Better than that. Wow. Now, over if I can, and having said that, back over to Isaiah 43 again. Isaiah 43. And may I pick up, please, God the Creator. Israel was to be the wonderful beneficiary. Chapter 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Sliding down to verse 7. Every one that is created, called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Wow. Verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, capital letters, and my servant whom I've chosen, what on earth for? That you may know and believe me. Know and believe me. And understand that what? I am He. I am that I am. I told you that in the beginning. I am that I am. I told you I am. I want you to know who I am. That's what we're trying to do. I'm trying to get, because I'm going to be one with Him. So what is I am that I am? Now, so, sliding over if I can, in chapter 10, in chapter 10, understand that I am He. Before me, there was no God, Elohim, formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11, I am the Lord, Jehovah, proper name. Beside me, there is no Savior. There is no Savior. I'm the only one. I'm the only God and only Savior. Wow. Verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. That they shall show forth my praise. Intensive. Show forth my praise. Intensive verb. What the word show forth has two words to it. Show, to show, the verb to show, and to sound. Show and sound. To show it and sound it out. To show and sound at once. Like a great canyon. The sound goes out and bounces off, comes back. It's, wow, God, I want you to show forth my praise, say it, show it. I want you to sound it forth, who I am. What did we read in Revelation 4, 11 and 5? What are they doing? What are we going to do? And I said, I don't want to go to heaven because it's all about God. And you don't have to worry. If you don't want to go, you won't. So you don't have to worry. It's all about God. That's right. Well, what's so good about heaven? You're going to be 1,000 zillion years. There are no more years. It's forever. What's forever like? Forever. To live forever. Do you know what that's like? To live forever? Ever. What are you going to do forever? We're going to be with God in Christ. Oh, it'll take 2 months and I'll get bored. Oh, no, you won't. No, you won't. Because God taken you into His wonderful person and to enjoy God's endlessness. Do you understand? There is no dimensions to this. There are no language. There's no language. It's an awesome thing. Heaven is. With God. All about God. I don't know. Let's keep going. Not much going for, but a little bit. Over if I can, please. In the light of all of this. Pick up if I can, chapter 43 and verse 25. I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. Why did you forgive us? Why did you die? For my own sake, I will not remember thy sins. I'm going to be glorified in angels, the good angels and the bad angels. I'm going to be glorified. They're going to understand I'm God forever. And humans are going to understand He's God forever in heaven and in hell. They're going to enjoy God in the sense that they're going to know Him. An endless God. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to John, and we'll have to close with this one, but I hope we haven't even started, but hope you're getting there. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And watch it. In John chapter 1, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's wonderful, wonderful person is made known in the person of His Son. God is going to be in Christ so that you can personally see, touch God, as it were. Verse 18, Our Lord Jesus Christ then's assignment: no man has seen God at any time, because he's the invisible, infinite God. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, the inwards of the Father, he hath declared, explained him, shown him forth. A wonderful, wonderful God. He's explaining. So what are we going to, God, what are we going to do? As my Father and I are one, you are going to be in me, one with my Father. Christ is going to make what? A oneness with God possible, whatever that can involve. Now, therefore, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the authority to become sons, children of God, even to them that believe in his name. God's wonderful, wonderful grace to save them in his word, his wonderful, wonderful word to save us. So God, what are we going to do? One other place in closing, over to John chapter 6. God is the Word, the Word. The Word become flesh. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to have, what did you receive? The Bible. You received his whole, all of God's Word. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive the Word, that's God, the Word was with God, etc., John 1:1. The Word was with God, the Word, you received the Word of God. When you receive the Word of God, that's what you got, the Word. So there's an awesome what? At least the beginning. What? We're saying what? There's a oneness that we have with all the words of God, a unique oneness. How can I do that? How can it be? In Christ Jesus, who's the Word, and all the words are in him. And when we find ourselves in him, we find ourselves in a oneness with his Word. Do you understand that? That's why I say, keep my commandments. Honor my word. It's a oneness you have. He brought you into his words. I'm reading the words that are his in me. I'm a relationship. So the Bible becomes very personal, real. That's why the promises of God are yes and amen. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Now, so therefore, chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. Never. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Pregnant. 1,000 times we've said it. Full of life. Awesome words. Then why? They're living words. Where are they? In Christ. Where's Christ? In the heart. Where's all the words? In the heart. So when I receive Christ, I have a unique, right now, a unique oneness to his word. So all of those promises belong to me and you, if you're saved, in an awesome way. How do I say that to you? Do you understand that? No. Awesome. Do you think many believers do? Do you think many believers even care? I don't think so. They think God is something else, and we're down here, and whatever God may be, he may be it, so what? You see? And I hope when I go to heaven, he'll help me and love me. See? I missed out. Plain missed out. Wow, I gotta quit. I hope I didn't confuse you too much. I do. Our Father in God, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Thank you very much. Spirit of God, thanks. So help us, and for those who know not the Lord, our Savior, Spirit of God, convict, convince, that they might receive you as their Savior and Lord, that they might have a relationship to you that makes possible the awesome wonderment of oneness, God. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.